You're listening to Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association with host John Hansen. Today's show is sponsored by attorney Michael Leonard from Leonard Trial Lawyers and attorney Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan. Now, here's John Hansen, and let's get legal.
At 210 on WGN, and we'll get to Mike Leonard in just a little bit. But on Thursday, the Supreme Court ruled that a 2016 publication of an Andy Warhol image of the singer Prince violated a photographer's copyright. And this was a 7-2 ruling. Just to give you a little more setup, because it gets a little confusing. Basically, in 1984, there was a commission for Vanity Fair. Andy Warhol, you know, there was a photographer, and the photographer, Lynn Goldsmith, took photos of Andy Warhol. This is why I need a lawyer on. Goldsmith took photos of Prince. Andy Warhol did what he did with those images. You know how he does the different colors of the same, like a print of the photo? They used one of those with the photographer's permission back in 1984. There was no problem there. The photographer was paid. This was all agreed to. When Prince died in 2016, Vanity Fair published a different photo in the set that had not been commissioned and for this particular purpose. Boy, I don't think I could have described that any more confusingly. Aaron Russell, who's an attorney here in Chicago. Welcome to Let's Get Legal. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, these Supreme Court cases can get a little squirrely. So basically, the Supreme Court is saying here, well, why don't you let us know? They ruled 7-2 in favor of the photographer. And what is their argument? What was Justice Sotomayor's main point here when she wrote her ruling?
Well, their main point was essentially that although, you know, obviously the Warhol argument is this is fair use. It's a transformative use of the original photo, which was given a limited license to Vanity Fair as basically like an artist, like, you know, suggestion or inspiration. And that's how fair use works. Basically, you can use someone's copyrighted image, but your new product, your new work needs to be sufficiently different and unique as to transform it into something new that's itself able to be copyrighted and protected. And what the court's basically saying here, and it's kind of a really technical ruling, is that because the Warhol image had the same commercial purpose as Ms. Goldsmith's original photograph, and that they were both licensed to Vanity Fair for a series of magazine articles about Prince, that it wasn't sufficiently transformative.
Right, because, and you said this, just to repeat, if you, and I think Sotomayor quoted Andy Warhol's Campbell's can, because people wondering, well, does this throw everything that Warhol or other artists do into question? And Sotomayor said something to the effect of, no, the Campbell's can art piece was like a commentary on, you know, consumerism, right? You take a piece of work, a copyrighted image, and you change it enough, or you make a statement enough with art, that is still allowed and was allowed, but that this one image was not. Do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, you understand it perfectly, and that's a really good way to explain it.
Yeah, so I know some, and this is strange to see Sotomayor and Elena Kagan on different sides of an issue, and pretty blistering dissent from Elena Kagan, Justice Kagan, talking about the chilling effect that this could have on artists. What does she mean by that?
Well, she means that sometimes when people perceive there to be too much protection granted and too much power to be granted in a copyright, it stifles creativity rather than protecting creativity, which is supposed to be the purpose of the Copyright Act. So if this decision were to be applied, as you pointed out, generally in other types of art like this, for example, then it's going to stifle that creativity of creating works that are commentary, social commentary, or that are sufficiently transformative that they should be protected as unique artistic expressions on their own.
I am married to a photographer who is celebrating the case, and I imagine a lot of photographers are, who have seen their work for years be manipulated and used by other artists or other publications for ways that they feel is more commercial and that they should be looped in financially on this. I imagine a lot of photographers are cheering this decision.
Oh, I think absolutely. And I think that's in part because sometimes I think photographers are upset by artistic manipulations like this. They do think that there's a good amount of wholesale just infringement of copyright protected photographs on the internet now that makes photographers rightfully upset.
Yeah, and this is complicated. Any free speech issues or artistic endeavors are going to be, I mean, I appreciate that there is like a general fair use doctrine and that it's somewhat easy to kind of understand in news. We have to deal with this too, with copyrighted imagery that we present as news and information and offer commentary on it. And that becomes very complicated. But really, these issues can be, each individual case has its own merits. And that's what makes deciding this very complicated. It's very subjective.
It is, yes. And you have to weigh the four factors for fair use. And so the amount of a work that was used, you know, the different purposes of the two works, you know, they have to balance those four factors. So it's a really nice defense to have, but it can be complicated and it can be tricky and a little bit unpredictable sometimes.
For sure. There was another case, a trademark case in the news, Taco Bell fighting, I think it's Taco John's, that owns the phrase or owns the trademark of Taco Tuesday. You know, Taco John's owns the trademark. Taco Bell wants to liberate Taco Tuesday from this rival chain. I don't doubt that Taco Bell is trying to enjoy some publicity on this, right? They're trying to make this a nationwide campaign, and I get that it's like a fun thing for them. How does a trademark like that work? How is a Taco John's able to own such a phrase as general as Taco Tuesday?
Well, you know, I did a little research into how they started using it. And at the time they started using it back in the 1980s, it was a specific marketing campaign that they did on their slowest business day of the week. And they offered two tacos for 99 cents and they called it Taco Tuesday. So at the time, it was sufficiently unique that they were able to get the mark in, I think, 1989. However, since that time, and a lot of trademarks are susceptible to this, it has become so popular and so widely used. When it was first registered, it was easily identifiable and relatable to Taco John's. However, since that time, it's become so popular, everyone uses it, and there's really no one who probably ever associated it in recent years with Taco John's. It's just everyone says Taco Tuesday. And so the petition that Taco Bell filed with the TTAB basically says that. It says this term has become generic and they want to cancel the mark. And basically we call it genericide. It has just become so widely used and no longer uniquely identifies the original registrant that it should be canceled and everyone should just be able to use it.
Is that a defense against trying to get someone's trademark removed, that it has become generalized? Or is there a general time frame that the trademark is in effect where it's understood to be kind of rock solid?
Well, usually after 5 years, something's considered to be presumptive. However, if you file a cancellation proceeding and they examine the mark and there's sufficient evidence to suggest that it shouldn't have been granted or it has, since it was registered, become generic, it happens. In fact, there's lots of really common words that were once, years and years ago, registered trademarks that are no longer trademarks because of genericide. And those, I looked it up, they include TV dinner, escalator, trampoline, aspirin, and laundromat. Those were once marks, but they just become kind of what people use as a general reference term. And then eventually those marks are considered too generic to sustain a registration, and those marks get canceled.
Interesting. Now, I know a lot of companies, like you mentioned Taco Tuesday, you know, a lot of restaurants put Taco Tuesday in their advertisements. Could Taco John's, and maybe have they ever gone after anyone for that, or have they been leaving that kind of dormant? And I want to say, you don't work for Taco John. You probably didn't dive into the research that much. I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. Oh, you did? Look at this.
I did a little.
What'd you say?
In fact, it appears that they used to send out cease and desist letters, and there was, and I don't know how recently they've done it, but they did at some point try to do what we call policing their mark. When you get a trademark, you can't just get it and then not use it. And you also can't just get it and then let other people use it. You've got to police your mark, and you're required to go after people so that you can maintain the strength of, like, this is us. It's nobody else. So they used to apparently police their mark and send cease and desist letters and try to do that. But I don't know that they ever sued anyone. And I don't know that, I mean, obviously, I don't think that there's been any publicity suggesting they've sued anyone recently. But technically, as long as the mark is in force, could they? They could.
So in addition to being a great marketing campaign by Taco Bell, do you think they have a case?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think this is a mark that looks like it is ripe for cancellation. And for people who, you know, legal filings are always so boring and no one ever wants to read them. But if anyone gets interested in how funny this is, the filing by Taco Bell is actually pretty hilarious because they included, before all the legal jargon, a preface, which is hilarious. And they include a lot of their little marketing keywords, including when they say, how can we tell our fans to live moss if their favorite taco joints aren't even allowed to freely say Taco Tuesday? Anything else is menos. I mean, they really made this kind of funny, and yeah. Then they got down to the legal part of it. But, yeah, I think that this is a mark that is probably going to get canceled.
That's really smart. They're going to maybe succeed and make a lot of hay and get some promotional value out of it. Aaron Russell, I really appreciate you breaking these two cases down for us. Really quickly, what does the Russell firm do? Give yourself a little plug here.
I do copyright and trademark litigation. And
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, did you believe it? And I also represent e-commerce sellers who sell goods on e-commerce platforms like Amazon and Wish and eBay.
All right, where can people reach you at?
They can reach me at russellfirmip.com. And I'm available for people 7 days a week.
All right, I love that. Aaron, we'll have to have you on again. This is great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.